You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with Brittany Giroli, as usual, our MLB.com Orioles reporter. And I just said before we started, Brittany, I'm not talking about Manny Machado on this podcast, so that's the only time you're going to hear his name. I know people still have questions, but the fact of the matter is there's no new news, so we're going to move on from that for this week in the podcast. I'm sure we'll get back to it at some point. As for this team, it still needs pitching, obviously, and eventually the Orioles are going to get pitching. We don't know when that's going to be, but a lot of teams are currently in need of something and still waiting for it. As you look at this team right now, the organization still in the need for pitching, are they any closer from what you hear?
No, not really. I mean, look, they've made some deals, but either the pitcher didn't want to go there, or I know there's been some cases where the medicals have been a little tricky. Some of that has started to trickle out. I mean, they have made some effort, and part of it, of course, is the fact that the whole market has moved really slow. That hasn't helped. The other part of it is trying to convince good free agent pitchers to pitch at hitter-friendly Camden Yards in the American League East. I mean, it's a tall task. The Orioles don't figure to be in any of those top names. They're not going to offer more than 3 years to any of these guys, so it takes them out of the running of a lot of these top pitchers, so to speak. But certainly they still need some significant improvements. They can't just go out there and try to sign a bunch of guys and hope that they have bounce back here. So there hasn't been a whole lot of, I would say, like real solid progress. But certainly they're among many teams who still need to get that in gear before spring training, which is less than a month away.
I know there was a question in your last mailbag on MLB.com about Chris Davis and his need to bounce back, obviously, 2 years into this long contract. As far as that contract goes, obviously it was a situation where the team was at the time. They really wanted to keep him so they can continue to contend. Plus, he was a fan favorite as well. In the time since then, I'm not sure if he's as big a fan favorite. I think the fans still like him, but they're not pleased with the production the last couple of years. How much of a factor on what the team can do right now with contracts, signing people, looking to the future, is that contract really hamstringing them, or was that all part of the plan and they still have what they need to go forward?
It's hamstringing them to some degree. I mean, this was a record deal for the organization, so certainly it plays a part in what they can do. I don't know if they hadn't signed him, if they would even still have a chance at Manny Machado. I know people have asked that, and, you know, I don't know. They have spent that money somewhere else. You know, they came really close to signing Nelson Cruz and Nick Markakis, and, you know, there are deals that they didn't make that also would have probably gotten in the way, so to speak, of the kind of money that Manny Machado would require. I think the bottom line is, if you're going to go all in on a player like Manny Machado, if you're the Orioles, it's at what cost? You know, they wouldn't be able to sign anybody else around him. So then all of a sudden you kind of become Stanton with the Marlins, and it's great you've got one terrific player, but if you don't have anything else surrounding it, I mean, that gets ugly really fast, and I don't think people really understand that. But certainly the Davis deal, they'll be paying him for a very long time. He makes a lot of money. Of course, that has something to do with what they are or are not able to do when it comes to free agency. But I don't know if Davis's deal was big enough or, you know, with Manny, how much money he's going to take. I don't know if those two would cancel each other out, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a good point, and we will see. You would hope that the first few years of the Davis deal would have been the best years, and then maybe he declines, but maybe they'll luck out in the sense that he'll finish that contract strong or at least get strong over the next couple of years and make that money have some more value. Well, the MLB Pipeline Gang is coming out with their top 10 prospects per position this week, all leading up to January 27th, when the top 100 prospects will be revealed. So far this week, as we record this podcast, they've gone through right-handed pitchers, left-handed pitchers, and catchers. And the Orioles check in on the catching list. Chance Sisko coming in at number 7. He's a guy that obviously, when you look at the list of catchers, some of them have made it to the big leagues, some of them have not. He's one of the guys that has a chance to really be a factor in 2018. Is that about where you thought he would kind of check in when you look at the landscape of catching prospects?
I mean, yeah, I had hoped that he would be in that top 10. I think it's encouraging that, you know, he's the highest ranked in the division. You know, he's ahead of the Blue Jays. He's the only other one that's on there. But I think when you look at it, offensively, the Orioles have never really questioned what he would be able to do. I think the real question is going to be defense. And that's really probably going to be ultimately what decides whether he makes the club out of opening day or he goes back to AAA for more seasoning. But I think they really liked what they saw of him in that September call-up. I mean, he hit .333 with only 22 plate appearances, but he performed well at AAA, you know, went to the All-Star Futures game for a second straight year. He's certainly taken the steps forward that they need. Just defensively, he has to get better at throwing out base stealers. I think he threw out 21 of 93 down at AAA and was 0 for 5 in the majors. And that's really going to be kind of the next step of his development is can he hold his own defensively? Because we talked about how the Orioles need pitching. Well, they also need a guy behind the plate who's going to help them. And Chance Disco has a chance to be that guy. He's just not that guy yet. So, yes, I was expecting to see him in that top 10. I think he's a guy who has a whole lot of upside. May end up passing some of those guys that he's currently behind, but certainly has a ways to go, I think, before you can kind of cement him in as their long-term catching option.
Yeah, and people that look at the list, it's obviously not all guys like Cisco who have a chance to be in the majors in 2018. Some of these guys are years away, and they are prospects, so who knows, 5 years from now you could look back and this top 10 could look completely different as far as where they all panned out. You mentioned the throwing being a struggle for him. How about the other parts of being a defensive catcher, blocking, framing, that kind of stuff? Does he do okay with that?
He does okay with that. I think he needs to get a little bit better at framing. They'd like for him to get better really in all aspects defensively. I know the throwing up base stealers is kind of the easiest stat to show people that he needs to improve, but he has kind of made some strides. And I think the important thing is that he's only been a catcher for 5 years. So he has still a big window to progress to get even close to matching his talent potential. So that in and of itself should also kind of lend to a little optimism that, you know, he hasn't been catching his entire career. He's fairly new to this still. I think he's going to end up getting much better.
The Hall of Fame voting will be announced on Wednesday, and for a number of years now, the Orioles have had a guy to kind of pull for in that voting. Mike Mussina trying to make his way to Cooperstown, and he's a guy that's one of the more interesting cases and really has been, but he is slowly and kind of consistently gained some ground to the point where right now he's sitting at 72.8% in the votes that have been collected. We get this year. Nowadays, you hear the votes get announced, published, whatever, and they're tracked on the internet, which is wonderful for all of us because we can really debate this. But about half the votes have been tabulated, and he's at 72.8%. Usually that percentage will drop. You need 75% to get in. So chances are this will not be the season for Mike Mussina, but he's certainly trending in the right direction. And I was looking at his numbers, Brittany, 270 and 153 with a 3.68 ERA, 147 of those wins with the Orioles, 10 of his 18 years, obviously, with Baltimore before he went to the Yankees. But then I looked at Jack Morris's numbers. Obviously, Morris just got in via the Veterans Committee. Morris, 254 and 186 with a 3.90 ERA. Both guys pitched a lot in the postseason. Obviously, Morris has those superior World Series moments, but I feel like we've gotten at the point now where if Jack Morris is a Hall of Famer, Mike Mussina has to be.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, I'm glad you said he's trending up because he has. He's gone up a little bit every year, you know, since he's been on that ballot, especially the last 4 years. But I think he's a guy who's really underrated because he doesn't have any World Series rings. He didn't win the Cy Young, even though he received votes in half of his 18 seasons. So, you know, he was a guy who was a consistent gold glover, a consistent all-star. I think if you look really closely at his stats and you wonder, why wasn't he? You know, why wasn't he a bigger deal? And hopefully this year really kind of springboard so that maybe next year he can get in. But he's the Orioles. He's already in the Orioles Hall of Fame. He's their all-time leader in a lot of different pitching categories. You look at what he was able to do in an era where, you know, a lot of guys were steroids guys. And you know, there was a lot of who's cheating, who's not cheating. And, you know, Mike Mussina was able to be really, really effective for the Orioles. And I think it kind of gets overshadowed because he doesn't have those moments of glory, like you said, like a Jack Morris, some of these other guys. He wasn't a showy guy. He was a very keep-to-himself kind of guy. I think he was kind of understated, and that's almost hurting him now amongst the voters. In my opinion, he should probably already be in.
He's also a guy that he won 20 games in his final season with the Yankees, and a lot of people thought he obviously had something left. You wonder if he could have just played a couple more years. Those Yankees teams were pretty good at scoring runs. If he could have somehow gotten to 300 victories, you would think he would have been a lock at that point. But obviously that could have been two, three more years. But he was done in his mind, and he went out with a 20-win season, which is impressive. So Mussina, we will see. This won't be the year probably, but he's certainly heading in the right direction. Curt Schilling spent three seasons in Baltimore at the beginning of his career. He wasn't particularly effective with the Orioles, but he's another guy trending in the right direction. And then I was looking down the lineup, and Sammy Sosa briefly played with the Orioles. Jim Thome also, his final 28 games with Baltimore. So if you're clinging for hopes for Cooperstown and a connection to the Orioles, Jim Thome, who is headed this summer to Cooperstown more than likely, did finish things up. His last three homers, last 10 RBIs were with the Orioles. All right, great stuff. Thank you, Brittany, as always.
All right, thanks, Tim.
This has been MLB.com Extras, our Orioles edition. For Brittany Giroli, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.